Hello and welcome to this edition of Parking Thought, the minimum viable podcast and YouTube channel where the curious mind branches out into a unique perspective. My name is Jacob and you are a part of the best audience on the internet. In this edition, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about minimum wage because I don't think we fully understand what happens when you do minimum wage. And so to start us off, let's see, we've discussed some pretty controversial topics on this podcast. We've talked a little bit about, you know, the flat earth movement and how, you know, I choose to see them as a disciplined group of folks, right, who made a decision, you know, at some point as far as what the evidence that they will accept, and then the conclusions that followed, you know, are pretty interesting once you find that decision point where they choose to do something different than what I would do, right? I don't choose to lock out some of the evidence they've locked out, and so I have a different conclusion on that movement. So let's take this sort of thought process as well, right? So let's look at decisions, not necessarily the results. So we're gonna talk about minimum wage, but we're gonna look and go back a little deeper on the subject, right? So the end results that are out there right now is the campaign for a $15 minimum wage, right? So the campaign for a $15 minimum wage is in the news these days. Target has gone to a $15 minimum wage. Now, they did this without government telling them they had to, right? So there's a difference when the government tells people they have to, when they don't, and how that impacts markets and economies. So if $15 minimum wage, right, is the result, let's go back to understanding how we get here, because there's disagreement from lots of different perspectives, right? There's not a for or against. You can't just make this a binary thing, but there's lots of disagreements on this. And so let's trace this back, right? So the audience that is campaigning for a $15 minimum wage is trying to solve a problem, right? They're trying to solve a problem. They're trying to solve the problem of being able to allow people to make enough money to live more comfortably and at a standard of living that is more comfortable than where they're currently at, right? And they feel that they deserve this because of what that resource pool, right? What that employee pool makes or contributes to the organization, right? So as a pool, that resource pool is extremely important, right? You can see that in McDonald's. McDonald's cannot function without its lower end wage workers. It would not be the experience that you and I are used to. And by the way, McDonald's plus and minus, again, I'm the sort of person I'm going to look at a lot of the positives in our society, right? McDonald's has between 2 and 300% turnover. It's some really, really high turnover. And yet their quality of product still maintains itself within a band of normalcy where people are buying their product. So I try to see the positive in whatever situation we have. So that also needs to be understood. So we've got the pro $15 minimum wage folks, and they are looking to solve a problem to try to allow the people in that resource pool to have a greater deal of respect and a greater deal of comfort based upon what they contribute to the organizations they're a part of. And that's awesome, right? Like, that is absolutely admirable. The other argument for that is kind of the history of other unintended consequences of minimum wage. And I used to think these were unintended consequences, then I realized they were designed. So let me explain real quick. So the unintended consequence that will emerge from the $15 minimum wage is fewer hours. Right. So Target's overall corporate policy was that any employee, you know, that was getting about 30 hours a week would also qualify for various medical benefits and other things like that. And the reports that are out now, anecdotal, right? So it's not a trend across the whole thing. Can't say it is. But anecdotally, the reports that are out right now is that people are getting fewer hours at Target. And so now they have to get a second job. So that security that people were trying to provide by the campaign for 15, right, didn't really lead to the results they want, because now you've created fewer hours for those folks, right? So their paycheck is actually less than what it used to be. And, you know, now they're having to get a second job, which creates a different deal of uncertainty. There could be some real positive aspects of this. For example, cross-leveling knowledge from one job into the next. Like, how cool would that be if people are having two different jobs and working kind of like the gig economy does, where they're able to take lessons from one environment and bring that into another environment? That could be a really positive consequence of this. But a lot of those folks who are campaigning for 15 and seeing this are seeing it as an unintended consequence, and it's actually not. It might be their unintended consequence, but the minimum wage as a proposal and historically speaking was actually designed to price people out of the market and give them fewer hours, right? Minimum wage, look up the history. I mean, I there are several opportunities for you to find this. I'll let you pick your own source. I'm not going to select one and put it in the show notes, but look up the history of minimum wage. It was a racist policy that came out of the South. Minimum wage was designed to take people who looked different and price them out of the market, right? So people of darker skin color, right, were getting enough money to live off of because they were taking all the odd jobs that were small and out there and available to them, you know, and they were doing a good job of it. And that was leading to those communities being more affluent. And then to put those communities down, what they did is they passed laws at the state and local level that said that there had to be a minimum wage. And they did it intentionally so that way those workers whose labor might have been valued at, and this is a way off number, right? But let's say, you know, if we use it in modern terms, their labor might have been worth $3.50 an hour, but once minimum wage became $7 an hour, they couldn't get the job anymore, right? So a person's labor is only worth so much. Like right now, my labor for my employer is worth, I mean, they appreciate me being there. My labor is worth a certain amount to them. I help them do that, right? I help them, like, for example, last winter, some of my labor allowed them to work a deal that was worth $1.5 or something like that $1 million. And that was awesome, right? So what they paid me, right, was not the $1.5 million. That would be silly, right? But what they paid me was fair to me based upon the contributions I was making and freed up the resources to go negotiate that particular deal, like, or finish that project. So that was cool. But minimum wage, when you look at it, is designed to price people out of the market. That's what it was designed for. It's not an unintended consequence. It might be our current unintended consequence, but it was intentionally designed to price people out of the market. So where do I land on this, right? I land on the side that I don't think there should be a minimum wage law at all. I also don't think there should be any law against somebody working at whatever age they feel like. Now, maybe we put something down as like 12, right? Like I'm okay with 12-year-olds and up working. And the reason being is because we don't have sweatshops anymore like we used to, right? And people generally aren't abused. Our society is generally affluent enough that, you know, if somebody wants to work starting at 12, they're probably going to find a job that, yeah, might be a little grimy, but it's generally not like you're going to die. It's not the matchstick girls, you know, or the girls in the match factory, you know, back in England. It's not those conditions anymore. But what we've done is we've priced people out of the market. My children are not worth $7.50 an hour to hire them. They're not. I mean, they're just not. I mean, the 12-year-old is not worth $7.50 an hour to be hired. He's not there yet. He doesn't have the knowledge, skill, or discipline to be able to be effective. I would love it if he could start working, you know, at the age that he's at for what he's worth, right? Which may be anywhere between $3 and $5 an hour. But that should be a conversation between him and whoever wants to hire him for whatever service they want to do, right? Odd jobs around the neighborhood, mowing lawns, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I want them to have that freedom to negotiate that. And the way this works is if the government comes in and says, hey, $15 minimum wage is the standard, first thing you just did is you just did the same thing that Jim Crow did, but now you're doing it without it being racially based. So you're pricing people out of the market. You're not allowing them to get the entry-level job skills they need to be successful long-term. That's hard, right? That's going to be hard for them in their life. The other thing that happens is it removes people's freedom, right? Land of the free, home of the brave, you should be able to make the choice to negotiate with your employer about how much you are worth. And if you think for flipping burgers or working at Target or whatever you happen to be doing that you're worth $15 an hour, make the case, right? And if you're correct, your employer will respond in kind. And we go from different cycles, right? A recession is when you have labor at a discount, right? Versus now, we're not in a recession. So labor is actually at a premium. People will pay more to hire you for different things because the labor market, right? There's more demand than there is labor at this point in time. And so you have the opportunity to negotiate a higher wage, and then that flips, the cycle changes, and then, you know, things reset. And I was explaining this to a friend of mine yesterday. I said, look, I said, when you go through a recession and labor, right, becomes cheaper, that's just a sale. All it is a sale. And don't think that it's dehumanizing that all of a sudden the value of your labor is worthless. That's not dehumanizing. As an individual, you have a responsibility to protect yourself with savings and with, you know, self-reliance, so that way you can get through those times that will be harder. But I really wanted to set the record straight on $15 minimum wage. I disagree with making it a government policy. I passionately agree with people being able to negotiate that themselves. And I totally am okay with Target deciding as a corporation to go that route. But when you see what people are labeling as unintended consequences, don't think they're unintended. They might be unintended by the current audience making the case, but it was actually by design. Minimum wage is designed to keep people from working, not keep people comfortable who are working. And that is it for this edition of Parking Thought. My name is Jacob. It's been glad to have you here. This is the part of the episode where I remind you to like and subscribe. Go ahead. If you happen to find this podcast on YouTube, feel free to leave a comment there. And if you happen to be over at Parking Thought, you can leave a comment on the post there. If you want to subscribe to this podcast, so that way it is delivered directly to your device and available for you every weekday, you can go ahead and do that on parkingthought.com. On the right-hand side, you will see links to subscribe to this podcast. Thank you guys very much for being here, and that is this edition of Parking Thought.